Welcome to the Love Witch podcast, where we have conversations on sexuality, spirituality, and more. My name is Gwen Walsh, and I'm a sex educator, a tarot reader, a sexuality and spirituality consultant, and your host. Let's get started. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Love Witch podcast. I am actually trying today with the audio quality. I actually have the whole Yeti microphone, GarageBand type, low-tech but trying better than usual setup, so hopefully the audio quality is a bit less dreadful than usual, since I'm not using, I can't even tell you, like, the shame of how I usually just, like, makeshift record these episodes, but we're not going to talk about that. What we are going to talk about today is something that is part Samhain / Halloween fun and part serious, like, this actually hopefully helps us act and move and consider as better citizens in our world. And I feel like that's a pretty good summary for what I try to do with my work in general. I'm usually more on the serious side, but I try to be fun sometimes. Can you tell? Anyway, so what we're going to be talking about today is the grand debate that's been going on for, I'm showing my newness to this. I don't even know how many thousands of years. Plato versus Aristotle, the two fathers of philosophy, and kind of the very basic understandings of their philosophical ideas and how those have continued into this day. But we're adding a little twist to it, and we're going to talk about which one would you rather invite to your Samhain ritual. So we're going to talk about which one is a bit more witchy. How would they be if they were witch influencers on Instagram and TikTok today? What would they be talking about? All of that. And naturally, we cannot know for sure. Of course, this is all fun and entertainment and hopefully a bit of education as well. We cannot know if Aristotle would have been all about the rose quartz or if he would have been showing off all of his various tinctures, and whether or not Plato would be subtweeting him. But we can have fun with it and think about what they might do and think about how it influences how we want to be as spiritual practitioners, as thinkers, and as citizens and people in this world that we all share. So, for a little bit of background as to why I want to talk about our two philosophy daddies today. So, my favorite class my whole entire time at Columbia easily was history and systems. And it sounds deceptively so boring. But this class was basically the Gwen Walsh experience in a nutshell. Philosophy, religion, art, science, history, aesthetics, and essentially the origins of psychology as we know it today, and how it has developed over the literally thousands of years into the art and the science that it is today. So, to speak about philosophy a bit more generally, usually when people think of philosophy, they think about some white guy, maybe kind of scrawny, sitting with his round glasses and his turtleneck in a library thinking about things and not actually doing anything. And while that is not inaccurate, philosophy also, I think, maybe to the people who are more familiar with it, but especially to the people who aren't, I think that the real purpose of it can kind of get lost. And if we think about philosophy really practically, like, how do we apply it to our everyday lives? Like, philosophy is helping us to ask the right questions to ourselves and to other people, helping us to understand what we think, why we think that way, and where our blind spots, our differences, and our similarities are amongst ourselves and other people. So when you understand kind of the philosophical underpinnings of, in this case, a spirituality or a certain like moral stance or mentality that someone has, you can understand why that person feels that way and the beliefs and values that are underlying their lifestyle, their decisions, all of those things. And this, of course, has hugely important implications for politics, for public health, and for what we'll be focusing on today, which is religion and spirituality. So, again, a little disclaimer. I know I always am making disclaimers, but like, I just want to make sure that I cover all of my bases because I want to invite you all to have these conversations with me, with yourselves, with your friends, families, whoever. And so I think it's important to discuss them, even if it's done imperfectly. And at the same time, expertise is really important, and I want you all to know that I am not whatsoever an expert in philosophy. I am just learning along with all of you, and so this will be a very basic introduction. I'm gonna go out there and say I may or probably will get some things wrong, and I think that that's important to acknowledge the limits of what we know and our understanding of things. So if you are a philosophy buff and I get something wrong, you know, heinously or just a little bit, feel free to let me know. After taking this class for a whole semester and having read about philosophy on my own time as well, I think that I do have a pretty decent basic understanding of it. But I just want to put that out there because I think that a lot of people can speak with a lot of confidence about subjects that they don't have expertise on. And instead of informing people of the limits of their knowledge, they can kind of just assume, oh, well, if I act confidently, then people will believe me and not question it. And I don't think that that's the right way to go about things. I think that it is important to have conversations with people about things and not completely paralyze yourself from beginning those conversations because you're not an expert. Like, if nobody ever talked about political issues because none of us are, you know, political experts, that would be a problem. It is important to talk about those things. And at the same time, recognizing, like, I do have more awareness of these certain issues than those certain issues. And that's okay. And we can always kind of learn new information and incorporate that new information into our perspective. So I do not want you taking everything that I say as gospel. I don't think that it's a good idea to do that with pretty much anything. I think it's always important to do your own research and to listen to multiple perspectives. Listen to some guy who has a PhD in philosophy from Princeton or Harvard, and listen to someone like me who has a bit more of a working understanding of it, and incorporate both of those perspectives and experiences into your own understanding. So, long story longer. As per usual, let's get back to our core debate here. Who would make the better witch, Plato or Aristotle? So, to give you, we'll start with Plato since he came first, to give you a basic idea of Plato's philosophy. So, the main three words that I would use to describe Plato's basic philosophy is, I told myself I was going to look up the pronunciation of this word before I recorded this. You can see that I am doing this in between my PhD essay writing, and it's fine. So please feel free to correct me if I mispronounce this. Asceticism, I think that's how you pronounce it. Asceticism. I was good at the spelling bee I won in third grade. So we've got that, but I'm not so good at the pronunciations. So anyway, Plato's basic philosophy is asceticism, idealism, and rationalism. So asceticism means that if you could see me right now, I'm pointing like up towards my head in the space above it. Asceticism is everything basically in the mind or not in the material world, as opposed to in the body, which we'll get to later with Aristotle. Idealism for Plato is basically everything that is material, like every physical thing, is an imperfect imitation of the forms, which are an immaterial concept up here in our little head, cerebral, divine world. And then rationalism, which is this idea that we can't trust our sensory perception of things because our senses are always going to fail us to some extent. And perception varies. Therefore, the sensed experience fails to guarantee truth. And the only real truth is this kind of a priori knowledge, which is this knowledge given to you not from sensory experience in the world, but given, you know, a priori prior to any experience you may have had. Kind of sounds like Abrahamic religion, right? Like trusting what you get, the knowledge that you get from birth, from the divine, from up here, not down here. So that's the essence of Plato. And again, very much a reductionist understanding of it. But Plato's idea with these forms and, you know, leading into stories like the allegory of the cave that he has is this idea that the physical world has limits, and it is not a perfect understanding of what reality or truth is, and that knowledge, truth, etc., exists in these forms, which are basically like these ideas of things. So like, I was listening to this one podcast that was like, oh, a cat, like what makes a cat? And it's like the essence of catness, like C-A-T-N-E-S-S. And it's like, okay, sure. But a cat is not like, you know, there's various breeds of cats, you know, the Siamese cats, the orange cats. And if you've had cats, especially orange cats, you know that the orange cats have a very different sensibility of catness about them than other cats. And so Plato's idea is that, like, you know, the form that is cat is what makes a cat, not necessarily whether it has fur or whether it meows or whatever, because all of those sensory things, you know, if someone is hard of hearing, they might not hear a cat meow. So they'd be like, oh, it doesn't meow, it's not a cat. Or if one cat has fur and then there's like a Sphinx cat that doesn't, does that mean that a Sphinx isn't a cat? So a little bit of a tangent there, but that's kind of Plato's argument for, you know, the forms, these kind of divine ideas of what is a cat, or in more pressing political discussion, what constitutes a child, constitutes a human, etc. It can sound kind of ridiculous when we're talking about what is a cat, but when we get into questions of like, what is a human, you know, and, you know, who is a human, and when do humans have rights versus not, etc. Like, these are all really important questions, and it gets very serious very quickly, so we can see why it's important to be asking these questions. So to get back to the spirituality and witchy side of things, so if we were to encapsulate Plato's version of spirituality, it would be transcendence, which is much more akin to Christianity, or Christian mysticism. So transcendence is this idea, I think I spoke about this in the last podcast episode, so this might be a bit of review for some of you, but we're talking about it again. So transcendence is this idea that the divine is up there. Like, we can't see it, We can't directly talk to it and have it talk back to us necessarily. Like, it's not something that we can, you know, drive to the coffee shop downtown and sit and have a chat with the divine. It doesn't work like that. So in, you know, spiritualities like Christianity, that is much more of a transcendent transcendent spirituality. And so if we apply Plato's ideas to, like, if Plato was, you know, a witch girly, what would he be doing today in 2024? So I feel like Plato would be more like a Catholic girly with spiritual sensibilities, but if he was more of like a Christian mystic or even more, you know, truly a witch, I would see him doing like deity work, mediumship, divination, maybe, you know, gazing into the crystal ball. God, what's that called? I'm a terrible witch. I teach this shit and the word is escaping me. It's fine. Trance work, automatic writing, all of that kind of stuff. All of these spiritual activities that involve drawing things from the mind, from, you know, the spiritual world up there, and communicating them to, you know, the friends, clients, people at your spirit party, whatever. Plato would be that kind of person, doing the seances, doing the mediumship, doing the, fuck, what's it called? The crystal ball gazing. I can't for the life of me. I'll figure it out soon, along with the pronunciation of asceticism, whatever, and I'll be real mad at myself. But you know what? The whole point of this podcast is to be imperfect and go against all of my Virgo tendencies and just have a little fun. So I'm going to force myself to have fun and not worry about what the term for crystal ball gazing is. I'll figure it out. So that's Plato in essence. Plato would be this like psychic, intuitive witch girly who's like sitting in his room. And when I say girly, I mean that like gender neutral. It's just the vernacular of me and my friends. He would be the one like sitting in his room for hours in like trance meditation to channel some message from the gods or whatever. So that's in essence Plato. Getting into Aristotle, because I promised I would not make this podcast episode like dreadfully long as per usual. So we're going to move on to Aristotle real quick. So Aristotle's basic philosophy is, if we were to summarize it in three words, it would be hedonism, materialism, and empiricism. So hedonism is contrary to the way that the word is utilized today. Hedonism is not necessarily like orgies and whatnot. It can be. We can't know for certain what Aristotle was into. I definitely would have had that conversation with him had I been around 2000 or whatever years ago, but alas. So hedonism basically means the opposite of that damn word, asceticism. So hedonism is essentially in the body instead of in the mind. So hedonism is like, you know, being in your body, the divine experience of being in your body and feeling your body and being embodied, as the spiritual girlies of the day say. And materialism is this idea that material objects are the true expressions of the forms. Although our senses interact with the immaterial, i.e. the psyche. Like, our nose is not just like off on a walk on its own sniffing things. Like, we smell, you know, the certain scent of soap that was at our doctor's office when we were young, and we remember that, you know. So our senses interact with our psyche, our brain, whatnot. They don't exist in a vacuum. But if we are thinking about the true expressions, the true reality of things, you know, the concept of being a cat is just that. But we can see the truth of what it is to be a cat when we look at, you know, your friend's orange cat knocking things off the shelf, or your other friend's sphinx cat, you know, snuggling up and in its little blanket or whatever. Like, that is the truth of being a cat, if we are to go back to that example. So Aristotle believed, I forgot about empiricism. Oh God, the cornerstone of my existence right now. Okay, so empiricism is this idea that perception or a senses-based experience is what gives the ultimate truth. Similar, of course, to hedonism and materialism, but empiricism speaks specifically to like how we absorb information. So Aristotle's not just like sitting there and being like, you know, God told me that germs exist, so they exist. I mean, they weren't even thinking about germs back then, sadly. But it's not like, oh, the divine told me that this is true, so it is. It's more like, oh, I observed scientifically that this happened because I conducted an experiment, and I observed this phenomenon, and I was able to measure it and write it down and repeat the experiment, etc. And so I know that it is true. And so we can see, you know, empirical evidence being knowledge provided by sensory experience in the physical world, this observable and measurable knowledge sounds kind of like scientific research, right? So we can see the differences in how people conduct themselves when they are expressing a truth that they got from evidence from the divine, that, you know, the divine conveyed to them in a channeling, in, you know, a prayer, etc., versus a truth that they have gleaned from an experiment that they have done, an observable phenomenon that they've seen in the real world. Again, I am not trying to say that one is completely all the time better than the other, but we can see the differences in those two things. So, Aristotle's idea was that we access the forms, Plato's forms, through the body, through nature, through physical experience. And this, when translated to spirituality, is more like immanence, i.e. paganism. So Aristotle technically would be more of a true pagan than Plato, because immanence is this idea that the divine is down here with us. Like the leaves, the trees, the rocks, they all have like a spirit in them. It's like that song from the Pocahontas Disney movie way back when, that sticks with me to this day. This idea that there is an intrinsic divinity and soul and spirituality, and truth in the physical things that are around us, if that makes sense. So like rather than the divine being this concept that we can never see or interact with, the divine is in, you know, the beauty of the sunrise and the warmth of the sun on our skin and other natural phenomena that don't have to do with the sun. The stars, the wind blowing in the trees, the snow falling, the animals, you know, running around with each other, the beauty of nature and existence and people. So that's more the Aristotelian view of things. So if Aristotle were a witch today, wandering around, you know, with a Tumblr account about, well, I guess that would be more like 2010s, but you see where I come from now. Like, what would Aristotle's witchiness look like? I imagine that he would be more of an animist. He would be more of the, there's a spirit in this tree, and, you know, feel the soul and like the energy in the water and the forest and all of that. He would probably be a pretty big proponent of sex magic, glamour magic, altar work, physical wards, like, you know, enchanting physical objects for protection and, you know, working with crystals and other spiritual objects, doing kitchen witchcraft, all of that. He would be the one, like, leading meditative walks through the woods and all that kind of stuff. So when we look at each of their beliefs in summary, as much as you can get a summary from me because I love to yap, we can see that Plato values the immaterial things, like the idea of the soul over the physical body, the truth that is provided by the divine, not from observable experience. And we can see that Aristotle, on the other hand, values the material things that we can see, feel, and observe in the physical world, and believes that, you know, the essence of those forms, those ideas, is most true when it is in, when it's manifested in a tangible physical object, if that makes sense. So the question remains, who would make the better witch? And my answer is, as always, that depends. So as we kind of touched on earlier, Plato would probably be much better at, like, divination, spirit work. He would be the one holding all the seances and the guided meditations and such. He would be the one who makes a special, like, sensory deprivation ritual room and sits in meditation for hours to channel messages from the gods and all of that. But Plato probably wouldn't be too much into, like, crystals or, like, meditative nature walks or anything like that. Aristotle, on the other hand, would be more into, like, herbal magic, you know, like, oh, mint, you know, holds the power of, like, prosperity and good luck. And so, you know, I made you a little sachet of mint from my garden for, you know, good luck on your job interview. And he would be the one, like, you know, doing kitchen witchcraft, like making special Sabbath meals for all his friends and whatnot. He'd be making, like, the little rosemary washes for protection and, like, inviting you on meditative nature walks to feel the energies of the trees and all of that. Aristotle would be the one who, like, leads group ritual activities out in nature. I think he would be big on Earth Day. And he would probably be more the type to make, like, service-based offerings to his deities, like volunteering at the VA if he was dedicated to the Morrigan, or volunteering as a research assistant in service to Apollo if he was doing, like, medical research and stuff like that. But Aristotle probably wouldn't really be into, like, trance work or sitting in his room meditating for extended periods of time or anything like that. So, to wrap things up, the point of philosophy is not to push you into, like, one camp at the exclusion of the other. Typically, people lean a little more one way or the other, but overall, usually the goal is having a balance of the two and an appreciation of the two. And it's the same with witchcraft and religion. If we are sitting in our rooms alone all day, every day, just praying, ahem, Plato, that would accomplish some things, but it's a fairly one-dimensional experience. In contrast, if we are out focusing only on the material world and never taking a step back to reflect on our inner self, we're gonna lose out on all of the lessons and the value and the beauty that exist outside of the physical world. Like, we have a psyche and a mind for a reason. So as you go about your life, in politics, in religion, in science, in your relationships, etc., I invite you to reflect on what you believe and why. Like, where do your beliefs come from? What are the alternative perspectives? What are you gaining and potentially losing out on as a result of what you believe? And this will help you understand other people whose beliefs differ from yours. And you don't have to agree with them. Of course not, but you can at least gain some perspective on why they believe what they do and the potential benefits and drawbacks and the differences and potential similarities of those beliefs compared to yours. So Don't give yourself a headache with this, like I do, but reflect on it from time to time, just to make sure that you are informed and confident in your beliefs and your values, and to make sure that you're allowing your beliefs and values to evolve over time. It doesn't mean that you have to constantly be changing like the core of who you are based on like whatever happens day to day, but overall taking in a variety of experiences, perspectives, thought processes, and having this awareness of like the philosophical underpinnings of all of them, what people are valuing and believing, where their knowledge is coming from, and how that impacts the beliefs that they have and the decisions that they make. Because again, even if you don't agree with it, it can help you understand, okay, I don't agree, I wouldn't make that same decision, but I see why that person feels that way. And if that was my kind of personal philosophy of life, I would do the same. It's a much better way of approaching things as opposed to just assuming that someone is a ruthless, barbaric, non-human just because they would make a different decision than you would. And again, like there's always everything here is like under the auspices of like within reason. But I think that making the effort to try to understand people is usually, if not always, a better tactic than immediately writing them off and saying, no, like I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. And like, I'm not even going to consider their opinion at all. Like if that's all that everyone ever did, we would never have any movement or any improvement in, you know, the world in general in our lives. So just kind of going on my little tangent here, longest story longer, but I actually think that's all I have to say. Wow. For the first time ever, everyone, I have finished what I have to say. So if you have any thoughts on this episode, as always, I would love to hear, who do you think would make a better witch, Aristotle or Plato? Who do you feel you have the most in common with out of the two of them in regards to your own spiritual practice? And is there anything I missed that you'd like to add to the conversation? Please feel free to leave a review on Spotify or wherever you're listening. Leave a comment on the Instagram post of this episode. If you want to, you can feel free to send me an email. Instagram DMs honestly like get lost sometimes, so I wouldn't trust that. But yeah, feel free to let me know. Like I said, I am very open to being wrong. If you think that Aristotle would not at all be a crystal girly, please let me know. I am not an authority on this subject whatsoever, but I think that it's both fun to talk about it and also a helpful way to think about like, oh, what are my perspectives and beliefs and values on these, you know, fairly serious things in life, because it can get very serious very quickly. Again, it's like fun and games when we're talking about like witches and cats and all that, but these things do actually matter in life, and to be like responsible citizens for ourselves and our loved ones and everyone in our world, I think it's important to consider those things. So thank you for hanging out with me today. Again, if you want to leave a comment on the little post of this episode or leave a little review, or let me know what you think. Thank you for listening, and we'll chat again soon. Bye, everyone.